Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Take 10. We come to you every week with a look at a variety of mental health and related issues involving caregivers and others. And we take a look at them with our special co-host. Carol Zernial holds a master's degree in social gerontology and 30 years experience in the field. She's co-chair of the RAISE National Council on Caregiving and executive director of the WellMed Charitable Foundation. And Dr. Jamie Heisman, a nationally known psychotherapist and expert on caregiving and addictions as well. And Dr. Jamie, I saw a report recently that says that they're developing a blood test, which rather than looking at symptoms, will let physicians identify those who may be at very high risk for Alzheimer's disease by detecting amyloids in their blood. Would you want to get that test, or would we better off living in denial?
Denial. Denial is often a helpful thing, and it's often a difficult thing. It helps us, obviously, allows us to get used to certain things in a slow fashion. And then, of course, it also, unfortunately, protects us from self-awareness. So when you ask that question to me, there's no answer. Let me tell you why there's no answer on this one. It depends upon the independence of the person in front of me. As a psychologist, we believe in the agency of the individual. For instance, when I do breath work, I allow people to make the decision to do breath work. I don't tell them to do breath work. If they want to do something else, they can do something else. So each individual is an individual. On the testing issue, I've had patients of mine, Ron and Carol, who have said, I don't want to know. I've actually had the greatest cognitive testing center of excellence in the world available for them with the best physicians you can imagine. They say, and why should I take that? The Alzheimer's Association hasn't proven that there's a medication for it. We haven't seen a solution for it. What do I do with that information once I know it? So many will say that. And then there's others who believe in the holistic alternative way that if I do know something, maybe I can do something along the way. So it's about the human agency. I don't care. What do you think?
Well, I agree. It's an interesting question. You know, a lot of these, like with amyloid, there are people that have amyloid that never develop anything. It's very common, and there isn't really any proof. And so, you know, I probably play on both sides of the fence. You know, I have family members who don't want to share bad news, right? And so they don't tell you that Aunt so-and-so passed away because it might upset you, which really used to really bother me that they would withhold that kind of information that a relative died. But on the other hand, I wouldn't take a test where there's so much margin of error, because you'd start changing behavior and feel doom and gloom, and it might be nothing.
Right. False evidence appearing real, as you often hear me say, is the acronym for fear. So many people simply fear the A word, Alzheimer's. And you're so right, Carol. I'd say 85, 90% of the time, it's never a memory disorder. It is depression. It is anxiety. It's actually cognitive fog sometimes from narcissistic abuse, but it may be anything but that. But it's our society, and I'm going to say this out loud, that creates the shame and stigma of things like Alzheimer's or our caregivers who are listening. And it prevents us from sometimes making the decision. The fear of this occurring and not and it comes at a deference to all the things that we could actually treat. So it's more societal, I think, at the end of the day, the more we view these things, than a clear-cut answer.
Well, what you said was really important, though, the shame and stigma, because that is another behavior modifier, definitely. We are not yet at a place, even though we're now talking about living with dementia, living with Alzheimer's, living with different disabilities, there's still people that will shame them, do look down on them, and there are other people that are afraid that's what's going to happen to them.
Absolutely. I think the projection, even I'm not going that third rail cognitively of our two people running for office, but we tend to project and make decisions that aren't really right. You know, and I know, and I've done a lot of presentations on, can you drive at 80 years old? Well, I say to people, I know 80-year-olds that can drive better than 50-year-olds. How can you make that decision? So we have these concepts in our head that prevent us from really the mind, body, spirit path that we should take. And I think you're right. The shame and stigma of aging aging and Alzheimer's, we've done us no favors. I've been in the therapy world for, you know, all my professional career, and all I've been battling is this shame and stigma for people to do the right thing.
Stay with us a minute. I'm going to let folks know who may have just joined us. You're listening to Take 10. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host, Carol Zernial, and Dr. Jamie Heisman. Take 10 comes to you every week with a look at a variety of issues that bounce off caregiving and mental health. And Carol, you wanted to jump in.
Well, when Jamie asked about the A word, he was talking about Alzheimer's, but there's another A word he also mentioned, which is aging. So the really interesting thing is that while we may not get Alzheimer's or some other dementia, we all are aging, and we do have fear and change our behaviors because we think things are going to happen when we're old, or we do get treated differently because we're old. And it's a universal issue. It's something that it's all of us. And yet we still have shame and stigma around the very long life that we've always wanted.
You're so right, Carol. I just spoke yesterday to, you know, Jeff Johnson. He's the president of AARP here in Florida. Wonderful guy. He heads up the FCOA now. And we were talking about this concept I talked to you about, high conflict caregiving, right? And we started talking. He says, I never read about this in our AARP. And I said, well, listen, 8% of the population have an attachment issue, and caregivers are going through hell and not talking about it because their mom and their dad has a cluster B or is a narcissist and screaming and raging, and their four-year-old mentality. And he goes, why haven't we talked about it? And I said, exactly this. The same reason we don't talk about Alzheimer's, and the same reason that aging has this bum rap, is we've created such shame and stigma around discussing the mental health of people and not equating it to medical health. We've done such a disservice to our care in this country that way, and to the patients that we serve.
Well, when you look at the two candidates that you mentioned running for president, both of whom will be in their 80s. One already is, the other's very close. And you look out at members of Congress, vast majority are 60s, 70s, 80s. Why does that stigma still attach? You'd think that they'd look at it and say, hey, we're here, we're okay.
Sure, Carol's got her theory, but I will tell you, Ron, I think we are very not self-aware as a society. And I do government affairs at WellMed, as you know, when I go up on the Hill. I think we still kind of get elected because of these conventional ways that people think with shame and stigma. So nobody's ready to buck the world, right? Nobody's ready to forge new territory. Everybody's going with their base and the next focus group. So they're not changing anything because that's probably how they got the vote, was to conform to the societal sort of norms.
Well, and the interesting thing is, if you look at other people who are the same age, are we going to tell Mick Jagger it's too late? You know, you need to stop Paul McCartney, stop writing music, you're too old. You know, so we're holding various people to different standards, you know, and some of it's based on how they look. Do they dye their hair? Are they wearing makeup? To change that so they look younger, and some of it's their profession, but the ageism in our society and the fear of getting old or seeming old is so pervasive. We raise ourselves to have that ageism and that fear and perpetuate it.
And don't we see Alzheimer's as a disease of aging in older people, and yet it also can affect younger people?
And we've seen that in early dementia a lot, and I'm sure Carol has too. I think I need to leave the caregivers who are listening to this a more hopeful message, though, that depression is absolutely treatable and curable, actually. Anxiety is treatable and curable. And most mental health issues, if addressed properly on the front end, whether it's through psychopharmacology or therapy and family dynamics, is curable and treatable. And for us to run away because of the fear that we may, you know, find out something that we don't want to find out because caught up in this world of shame and stigma, should not stop you from getting your loved one assessed and evaluated.
Dr. Jamie, you get the last word. Carol Zernial, Dr. Jamie Heisman, I'm Ron Aaron. Thanks for joining us on Take 10.